This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin!
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It's your friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studio, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. With me is the great man himself, friend, confidant, and cohort, Kurt South is here. How you doing, South?
I'm awesome. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Well, our listeners are out there. I know what's going on, because I'm one of them, a fan, a music lover, and you're out there adrift on the high seas, worse than ever, floating. Fog is rolling in. The shoreline is indistinct, but suddenly out there in the fog, a light is visible.
A beacon.
And you're drawn toward it. What is it? You're out there floating in bad music. You're being spammed by bands, right?
Yeah.
You got a million different people telling you to do this and do that. Billboards full of American Idol contestants beckoning you forth, telling you to go shop at Bed Bath & Beyond. Are they still in business?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Or whatever. You think, man, where do I turn? I'm trying to play my own music, trying to get in the game. What is the game? What's going on?
Is there even a game
going on? Is there a game to be played? And there it is, the beacon. That's what we try to be, the beacon on the shore, the lighthouse in the fog. It's the P2 Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Well, we have a special show for you here today. Very, very special indeed. As some of you might know, those of you who follow the band, and we had a big trip. Big trip.
Historic trip.
Historic cross-country journey that featured myself and Kurt South himself as we rolled all the way to North Carolina Beach, North Carolina, to play a show there for our good friends out there. Jeff King, leader of the Notorious Gringos. Jeff and his family have a great home out there. All the guys in the band. This is an event that the full band and I played last year. King Fest, North Carolina Beach, North Carolina, which is right on the Atlantic Ocean, just south of Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
So this year was just going to be kind of more of a solo acoustic type affair. The Notorious Gringos, the Jeff's band out there, who recorded here at Trinidad, made a fine record, full of fun, partying, beach in the sand, beer in the hand hits. I can't get it. What? Who is it? Who is it?
I don't know.
Good Lord. South just blown up.
I thought I turned the ringer off.
No editing here on the podcast. You get it all. So we head up there to North Carolina, me and Kurt, hop in the van, the two of us. It was a good time for us because we got to kind of listen to some of our podcasts. We never listen to any of these things.
Yeah.
We make them, we edit them, we send them on. So I have some on the iPod, so revisited some of our early work, which I was shocked to see was some of it was rather coherent and even entertaining. Would you say that? Helpful to some degree?
Yeah, it was pretty good, yeah. You could tell that it took us a few episodes to get our legs under us, you know. But
oh, no question about it.
I cringed a few times.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, We've seen it worked out a few of the kinks. We thank y'all for listening out there. Oh man, so we had a full trip. We had two shows to play out there. We played at the Blackhorn, a cool little pub there on the boardwalk.
Very cool.
They've got a boardwalk out there in North Carolina Beach, right on the Atlantic Ocean.
It's just like Coney Island, man.
Kind of a Coney Island. It's got Ferris wheels and all sorts of tilt-a-whirl miniature golf. So we played the Blackhorn. Well, Kurt and I, so we took out, what was that, Thursday morning?
Yeah,
get in the van, we head out, trying to make Augusta, Georgia by midnight. Boy, that's a haul, man.
We made it about, it was like 1 in the morning.
1 in the morning. Of course, we're losing some time headed
you lose an hour.
Heading east. Now, Kurt's an old Southerner, man. You grew up in Virginia, correct?
Yeah.
So this is your territory out here, man.
That's my hood, man.
The old South. Kurt South. You are Kurt South.
Yeah, I represent.
A veteran of the South, of the Confederacy or something like that.
No doubt about it.
Oh, man, these guys out in they didn't really know Kurt as well, having not played out there for this event. So I put in a good word for you, I thought, oh, you're like Kurt, And it was a toss-up, man, whether to take you out there or just buy myself a plane ticket and fly out there. So I think the fact that I drove 40 hours round trip just to include you in the deal, I think is a testament to our friendship, would you say?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So we struck out, man. Oh, it's just I-20 all the way to what? We drive through, of course, Shreveport, Louisiana, Monroe, Louisiana. Oh, my goodness.
Kept our eyes just tightly shut that whole stretch.
You were cringing a little bit through the old South there a little bit. Of course, pretty rough a little bit there on the interstate in the old South.
Yeah, I mean, they're
a bit of a different world, I think, than Texas or the West, where we tour a lot.
Yeah. Well, the South is divided up within its own geographical region. There's the Deep South, and there's the South. Man, there's some Alabama. There's parts of that great state. That are pretty rough, man.
Great states all.
Yeah, but
great people. You're talking about. There is just a bit of a difference, I think. And
yeah,
I've always noticed this.
It's a whole different world, man.
When you roll into the Texaco and the interstate.
Now
in Texas, you get your rough spots, but there's not a check stop out there.
No.
At least that I could find.
No, I-20 cuts through one of the most poverty-stricken parts of America.
It is. It's a different landscape out there.
Yeah, it's a little different landscape, but they don't put interstates through the nicest parts of town.
That's probably right.
So
we were lucky that we had good weather.
Yeah, it was great.
So we're driving through, of course, Mississippi, Alabama. Went right by the what's the big freeway racetrack out there?
Talladega.
We drove right by Talladega Speedway.
We just whooped and hollered as we passed by. Took our
That's
hats
right.
off and just thinking of.
You know that movie, Night at the Museum? You and the kids seen that?
Yeah.
Ben Stiller.
Yes.
Pretty funny for the kids, pretty good stuff. But there's one scene, he's talking to all the Civil War mannequins, and they're fighting. He's like, hey, you guys got to quit fighting. He's like, man, the North won, just deal with it. But the South, hey, y'all get, the Allman Brothers and NASCAR, so just chill. that was the best line of the movie. And it certainly did. So, man, we were cutting right through there. You get, of course, to Atlanta. Really the first real big city you get to. That's the only big city out there, really, almost.
Well,
in the northern part of those states.
Really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we go through Jackson, Mississippi, and Birmingham. Right.
Atlanta's College Town, Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Atlanta's the first major metropolitan area that you really between Dallas and the Atlantic Ocean.
And the cops out there wear those nice hats,
Yeah.
The state troopers.
Yes,
they do. They're everywhere, too. Goodness gracious.
They are, man. They're
Had
thick.
To watch the speed in the van. The van's got 368,000 miles on it. I wonder if that's the most traveled vehicle to ever drive through those states that wasn't like a semi, like an 18-wheeler.
Nah.
Gas-driven V10 vehicle, you think?
Nah.
You think there's other cars out there on Interstate 20 going through the deep south with more miles than that? Original miles?
Yeah.
Original transmission? Original engine?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know.
But there is.
If any of you know Ford Motor Company, put in a good word for me. Tell them they ought to give me a free van. I think I would do like a commercial or something for Ford. If they give me a free van,
This is Phil Pritchett. I've traveled
Ford this country
van
from one side
to
the next.
Half a million miles.
My Ford van has 368,000 miles on it, the original engine and transmission. Just keep a little oil and gas in it. Keeps me running good.
New tires?
Me and my life are built for turbo. Yeah, you know, I do something like that probably. We're going to talk about how John Mellencamp did that in a future podcast here.
That's right.
Bit him in his ass. Oh, my goodness gracious.
He bruised the day.
Well, back to our show. We rolled into North Carolina Beach. We stayed out on the golf course there. What was that golf course called? We couldn't find it in the dark.
Beau Rivage.
The Beau Rivage Golf Resort set up by Russell. Russell, who is the drummer of the Notorious Gringos, had a little hookup there.
Yes.
So we got to stay in this little inn out there on the golf course.
It was wonderful.
Oh,
wonderful.
Man. These are the kind of gigs that, it's a long drive and all that, but, man, they take care of you. They set you up in a nice place. It's the perfect example of a private show in the sympathetic audience we always talk about.
Absolutely.
Everyone's like, you wouldn't want to come all the way out here. You wouldn't want to fly here. Man, if there are people there that really want us to play or just say, man, we love your band, Phil, would you ever come to wherever, you know? Denver, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm always like, man, let me know what you could do and we'll make it work. And this is a perfect example of that. Not only that, I end up recording producing a record here for Jeff and the guys.
Yeah.
So it's been great having that Carolina connection out there. Well, how'd you think our Blackhorn show went? We loaded into the Blackhorn. Did you like the place?
Yeah, it was a very cool place. I liked it.
This was Friday night. Friday night we played the Blackhorn. Just two-man solo swap deal.
The sound system sucked.
Oh, I didn't think it was that bad. See, I've played on worse. I'm the wrong guy to ask. You know, I expect nothing now from the sound.
It was
rough. I didn't have to bring it, then I think it's pretty good. You know, I was like, it'll do. It's okay.
It was it was a cool place, and I had a lot of fun there. I thought it was a really good time. The people there who weren't familiar with us seemed to enjoy what we were doing.
Yeah, I moved quite a few of those Pritchett drop cards, the entire catalog, the little business card we got for $20.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were taken with that. So we sold quite a few of those, which was cool. So I hope that everybody who got a hold of those has downloaded and just totally digested the Pritchett catalog by this point out there on the East Coast. Now, before Friday night, of course, we stayed in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Now Augusta's pretty nice. It seems I was surprised.
Yeah. Augusta's a pretty aristocratic little town in some ways.
Yeah, of course you got the Masters, the great golf course out there, and the La Quinta that we stay right on the freeway. I was a little sheepish last year staying there, but man, nice, just an ornate Denny's. If there's such thing as an ornate Denny's, it's in Augusta, Georgia, in this great land of ours. Right next to, I thought this was interesting, across the parking lot from a Dunkin' Donuts, which I haven't frequented, I have to say, Dunkin' Donuts, but I always heard they had great coffee, great affordable coffee. There was a Dunkin' Donuts, a Starbucks, and a Denny's like right outside our door.
Yeah.
All filled with very friendly people. And I couldn't help it. So I went into Dunkin' Donuts. You know I love coffee, South.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what, man. I've gotten off the Starbucks after a while. I don't know. I think Starbucks has just jumped the shark, so to speak. For me. It's expensive. The lines.
The people that
it has become.
Go in there.
What's our word on this podcast? Starbucks.
Ubiquitous.
It is ubiquitous. You can't miss the Starbucks. So it is expensive. There's a little more line, and the coffee is really strong. I'm used to just drinking like the Folgers at home.
Yeah.
So
Sanka.
Come on. They quit making that in like '78, didn't they, or something?
Yeah, I think so. No, it was that Denny's there was just awesome, man. That was a good way to, you know, we pulled into Augusta like 1 a.m. I had purchased some beers in Alabama.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And kept them in the van till we get to Augusta. And so we don't go to sleep immediately when we get to the room.
We kind of got to wind down from that long trip.
We do a lot of sports trivia.
Turned on the ESPN, that's right.
Yeah, and you pulled out the laptop and we delved into some Funny or Die videos.
And then at some point, you said, man, I'm going to go get some ice. And man, there was just and then I wondered after about an hour if I'd ever see you again.
Yeah, I disappeared. I got lost trying to navigate.
Now, how hard is that to do?
Man, well, there's like four buildings in this
La Quinta. I forgot about it. It was like kind of a complex.
Yeah, it was weird, and I was just wandering around.
I just wandered out onto the balcony. at 4 in the morning or something with my laptop, just looking out, and I see across the parking lot at an adjacent La Quinta building, this guy just shuffling around with a bucket of ice, just kind of like knocking on doors. I was like, Kurt, South, Kurt. He's just like looking around. I'm like, South. He just looks over. Huh. I'm like, over here. He's like, oh. So he finally made it over. Had a nightcap and hit the rack.
Yeah.
So from Augusta, we only had, what, 5 hours maybe? Went through South Carolina and then on up to the coast. So the Blackhorn, yeah, man.
It was, that was a fun gig. I enjoyed it. And before the gig at the Blackhorn, we kind of went and did sound check.
Yeah.
And then the Blackhorn is right on the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
So Phil and I, after we did the sound check, went to this nice little... $7 all you can play miniature golf course.
All right. Now, this is going to get into our next segment here. It is true, folks. We drove up, boardwalk, sound check, everything set to go.
Yes.
It's tough being on the road, man, trying to entertain yourself to some degree. Because you can't, you know, you don't want to go to a movie or something. You know what I mean? So you're like, what are we going to do to kill a couple hours here? We don't want to drive all the way back to the hotel. Yeah. So we'll talk about, and this gets into some very interesting. Band free time on the road between gig, between sound check discussion. We'll talk about our North Carolina experience. A lot of miniature golf on several different courses.
And a possible homoerotic moment between Pito and myself. We're going to need your feedback.
I'm going to have to dump that.
We're going to need your feedback.
And some uncomfortable moments as well. Stay tuned. She's a reason. I go to my room, stare at the ceiling for a while. Now baby's gonna miss me. Baby's gonna miss me when I die. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here. Email us at phil@philpritchett.com. Come record here at the studio. Call me. The number in my pocket on the phone, 817-733-5256. Come see the studio. Come record at the studio. It's what we do. Of course, you can download all the stuff on iTunes or at p2tunes.com. Support us. Support Kurt South. Well, we were talking about our legendary cross-country trip to North Carolina a few weeks ago. We had gotten all the way to Augusta, Georgia, spent the night, got to the Blackhorn, and then we set up at the Blackhorn for our show. We were just doing like an hour set or so, you know, there at the Blackhorn. Some kind of karaoke dude was coming on later. We're the opening act out there in Carolina. It was like a late night thing. So we had our crew there, you know, Jeff and all his buddies and everybody was there. A lot of fun. But yeah, after the sound check, we wandered out into the sort of the Coney Island boardwalk. You know, there's Ferris wheels and miniature golf and God, what else they have over
people
there?
The
big slide
tops.
We put on like the burlap sack or something, you know. Cotton candy. There's this whole huge kind of fair deal. So yeah, Kurt and I spot the very nice but very traditional miniature golf course.
Very straight ahead. No clowns or
No stuff.
Like
just the orange metal borders around the green.
Which I prefer, by the way.
Very well maintained.
Yes.
Very well maintained.
Very good greens.
Yeah.
Very
real
good.
Fast but true.
Yeah. we're the only people who analyze miniature golf courses.
It's out there kind of feeling the grain, you know, kind of reading the putts. So, yeah, how do you remember that going down?
Well,
$7. You got to get your own putter, a blue floating ball.
You choose your putter. Man, it'd been years and years since I'd played miniature golf.
Yeah, so I've really been that long.
Yeah,
yeah,
long time.
Because that's a full band favorite pastime. I think I've mentioned before. There's a big complex south of Amarillo that if we play Lubbock and then drive to Amarillo the next day, we would always swing into the go-kart batting cage, miniature golf. But man, fountains, sand traps, pretty nice.
Yeah.
So we've had many a big skins game miniature golf over the years. So I think I probably held a distinct advantage over you getting up there, teeing it up on a miniature golf course that neither of us had played on the boardwalk, Carolina Beach. You get the breeze from the Atlantic Ocean coming in there to contend with. Darkness had fallen.
Yeah.
You know, there's kids running around everywhere. A lot of distractions. But we played some very intense miniature golf.
It was pretty intense. It was the competition was pretty fierce for a while.
It was pretty fierce. Of course, I've learned one thing. Any of y'all play a little miniature golf out there, just know one. I'm going to give you one tip, and I think I've maybe given it before. Remember this. When you play real golf, I played a lot of golf growing up. You take a good on a putt. You take a good run at the hole. You want to get it to the hole. Mm-hmm. Run it a foot or two past the hole. Give it a chance to go in, they say. Now, miniature golf, and everyone's instinct is to do that, kind of ram that ball in the hole. And I've learned the hard way. You've got to stop the ball south. If you don't make it, the ball has to stop within about a 6-inch to a foot radius at the most from the hole.
Yeah.
You just cannot send it with a good pace past the hole. You'll be 8 feet past the – I mean, you'll go down the ramp. And that's the biggest mistake guys have, is that they're standing over a 3-foot putt that they have to – that they you know, for a 2-putt, they lip it out, but they hit it to – and it just rolls for, and
forever.
You can make an 8 on some of these holes. So I'll miss a putt, but man, mine will just be like 4 inches from the hole. I just tap it in.
Yeah.
You've got to die the ball at the hole. It has to die at the hole every time.
That's sound advice.
Boy, you don't listen to this podcast, I think you're going to get any good miniature golf tips, man. But let this be a first. Let this be a lesson.
Well, you wound up winning the post sound check round by one stroke.
I think we were playing match play, right?
Yeah.
Because I'd make it two, man. You'd be like hacking for like an 8 or 9. I'm like, man, just pick it up. I'm one hole up.
Well, just happened the first hole.
That's right. You kind of got it going after that.
And then after that, we were. It took me one hole to get warmed up.
But it takes a lot of confidence too, because you know it is kind of hard to get out there. There's a lot of kids out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and
a couple of like, you know, a guy and a girl on a date, and here's you and I. Of course, everyone's in there. You got to remember too, everybody. You're on the beach here. I mean, it's warm. Everyone's in their flip flops, sandals, beach wear.
Yes.
And Kurt and I, of course, are here. The Texas guys. We're in you know, pointy toed, high heeled boots. Full jeans, flannel shirt, full jacket, sunglasses at night.
We were drawing stares from
fellow
players.
It was pretty odd. So I don't know if that was if we were maybe a disturbing presence out there. I didn't really notice it at first. But kind of looking back on it, I was like, man, you know, I wonder if people come in, who are these guys?
They were wondering what was going on.
What was going on?
But we couldn't get enough. After the gig, we got done playing. We stood around and talked for a few minutes.
And the gig went well.
It was great.
I did a few songs, and Kurt came up and joined me, and it was just a swap kind of deal. Kurt and I have developed our own little show we do, solo acoustic.
Yes.
What are the songs we always do together? Sing harmony. You play harmonica and a lot of stuff. Leads.
Oh, God Save the King and
Willin'. Then we do Kurt's songs, Boulevard.
All the Time in the World.
All the Time in the World, and many, many others.
Yeah.
But, a lot of fun. So we played. Yeah, we did have the whole evenings went back out there.
Yeah, we went back out there.
That evening
for
where we
two.
Ventured onto into very disturbing territory.
Yeah,
this is something that I hadn't anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to remind Kurt here, folks, that this is a PG-rated show, a family show. He makes a lot of crass jokes about things.
Not true.
Very dark.
Not true.
Very crude. Well,
the evening tumbled downhill.
It kind of tumbled downhill.
After this.
We were kind of invigorated from having a good show. Great time.
Wanted more miniature
golf.
Free
on the ocean. Free on the high seas out there. So Sal's like, man, I want a rematch on the miniature golf. Well, it was unlimited miniature golf. We paid our $7.
So we didn't have to pay again.
Right. So I told the dude, I said, hey, man, we might come back here.
Yep.
I made him take my putter. Of course, they got a big barrel full of like 100 putters. But I'd found mine with the straight shaft, the nice little sweet spot. I told him, keep this putter somewhere else.
Save it.
I'm coming back for it. So I went back, got my special putter out. Very pretentious.
Yes.
Very pretentious.
Yes.
So I had my putter there.
You're miniature golf ass. Yeah.
Very pretentious. It was all I could do to keep from just putting on my golf cleats, you know, my spikes. Just get out there with the visor on and maybe my Odyssey, my real putter.
Yeah.
I didn't dare do that, though. But anyway, so we go back to play another round of golf.
But this round, we played for money. There was money.
A lot of money.
We were gambling profusely.
Oh, my goodness.
And this time, when money was on the line.
Indeed.
When money was on the line, South prevailed.
Mm. Is that right? That is right.
Yeah.
So Kurt South wins. Well, it was a lot of fun. We walk out of the thing. And we're like, it's still early, you know, and we just have a room out there on the golf course where we're staying for the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all this activity. There's just people enjoying themselves everywhere. I'm not a guy. I'd never go to like Six Flags or anything. You know, I'm not much of a, you know, like with the kids, we'll go do something, but it's just not something we do a whole lot. So Kurt and I get the great idea. I kind of say, and it's getting late. It's kind of thinning out a little bit.
Yeah, there's no one.
It's like, I think at 10:30 this whole deal kind of shuts down. So the fair and the rides are kind of getting quieter. There's no crowds. We weren't going to go wait in line out there. So we look up, and man, there's no lines in any of these rides and things. So I make the fateful decision to, I said, man, let's get some tickets. Let's ride some rides, man. You know, it'll be fun. Come on. So I go over to the booth. I get the family package, whatever, the 30 tickets for, you know, $85. I don't know what it was. Phil just a lot.
Phil just laid $200 bills at the counter.
Yeah,
I'm
alongside a bunch of like 12-year-old kids with my tickets just folding, just dragging behind me. All right, you know, so we're, and Kurt and I. So our first idea. I mean, there was a very active ride machine.
Scrambler.
The Scrambler, which is a, it's kind of like a Ferris wheel laid on its side, sort of, but it has, or like an octopus. There's a middle part, the arms.
Yeah.
At the end of each arms is kind of a spinning.
It's kind of like the teacup ride. Yeah,
the teacup deal. But this is like some high powered voltage. So we approach this ride. Every arm of this deal has a small pod that two people can fit in, supposedly. So. There's people screaming and twirling around in this thing. It's going pretty fast. I mean, this would be pretty fun. Kind of a good starter thing. Of course, and so we're in line, and there's a lot of people on the ride. Well, when the ride stops and everybody gets off, the people coming off the ride obviously know the people in line.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all laughing like, oh, did you see me? Ha, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. All of a sudden, the people in line, I figure out, weren't in line. They were just waiting for the people on the ride to get off.
Right.
They're all on some bus or something. So all of a sudden, the people in front of us in line and all the people on the ride leave. Leaving.
Yes.
What? The two cowboy guys.
Well, it was you and I. It was a grandmother and her grandson. And then there was like three 12-year-old girls.
And a couple of, and these dudes running the machine, folks. Rough. I mean, a couple of carnies,
right? One word, methamphetamine.
Yeah. Yeah, a guy with like no teeth, ponytail, just bronze from the sun, like two cigarettes hanging out of his mouth. He's just looking at us like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So I got my tickets out there, and I go, kind of like a joke. Yeah, we thought we'd do this or something. So the guy just nods, and of course, I'm thinking at this point, I'm not privy to any sort of safety features on these kinds of rides. I don't understand the balance and all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming that I would get my own car, my own pod. So I'm sort of mapping out, well, Kurt can be across. That way we could, like, laugh at each other and stuff. Well, this guy marches us right to whatever, pod number 8.
It was pod number 3. I'll never
forget. Gentlemen will be in pod number 3. And Kurt and I just shoot each other a glance. And I go, yeah, we were hoping we could each like have our own car.
You'll be in pod 3.
The guy goes, you're in pod 3. We've got another couple over here. We've got to keep the machine balanced. I'm just like, of course, I almost said, well, we don't want to ride it. But I don't want to offend this gentleman with no teeth. And I didn't want to offend Kurt. So I just kind of go, oh, big deal.
So you just grabbed my hand and dragged me on?
So next, folks, what you're seeing out there on the Atlantic Ocean is Phil Pritchett and Kurt South squeezing themselves together, mashing flesh against flesh into this little
What made it even worse is when we first sit down in the little pod, Phil just looks at me and goes, dude, just don't be leaning
on
me.
Yeah, just don't be.
Well, little did we know that there's only one seatbelt.
Yeah, you got to share
one long
Velcro seatbelt. So the guy comes over and like helps us fasten it.
Yeah.
It's like, scoot together, gentlemen.
There was maximum contact.
So Kurt and I just have to just wedge ourselves together. Very awkward, very uncomfortable, very disturbing. We're sharing a seatbelt, for crying out loud. Yeah. Then they put this metal bar down to ensure that our arms, our sides, and our thighs are just pressed flush against one another. Very disturbing. Now I'm not having any fun. I'm thinking, why did we do this? You know.
Yeah.
And so these carny guys are over there, and they start kind of laughing. They light up a couple cigarettes. They're just like looking over at us, just laughing. We're sitting there in our cowboy boots, in our jackets, you know, just looking like something out of, you know.
They thought the gay biker gang was out.
No, what was it? Was the Dustin Hoffman Midnight Cowboys?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, just disturbing. Just disturbing. Well, the ride starts up. Of course, centrifugal force comes into play. Kurt's body is just smashing against me. Very disturbing. Very disturbing.
Well, and you were on the
sleep.
On the inside.
I know. I was on the inside.
So you had the wrong end of the deal because I outweigh you by about 50 pounds.
Yeah.
So I was just. I'm surprised you didn't break bones. But once they started the ride...
I don't even want to think about it right now.
Phil and I are just sitting there just screaming like schoolgirls mashed up against
screaming.
Each other.
I was going, get off me, get off me. I was screaming. I was dizzy. I think I'd had a couple beers. I mean, I'm sort of swirling around. I haven't been on one of these machines in a long time. So I started getting a little nauseous. I'm swirling around. I got Kurt Sal's hairy arms just kind of, you know, pressing against my cheek. Oh my gosh! Don't ever do it, folks. You think you're being all fun, you know? You're gonna do some things just like the old days when you were a kid. You can't go back again.
It's not like
all
you
pride
remembered
was
it.
Lost. And then what? And then
we didn't learn our lesson because then we walk over to the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Well, but I see this was the same. This was the same deal. It's like surely the Tilt-A-Whirl is not much of a balance because it's kind of like a wheel on its side.
Yeah.
And the place is really cleared out by now.
Yeah.
So I'm a little not as self-conscious. I thought about just getting one. There were some girls out there just to ride it with us, just to keep us separated, just to let me retain a little dignity, you know. I should have done it in retrospect. So same thing happens here.
Yeah.
This guy, there's like one carny dude there.
Except we're the only people on
this
ride.
Poor guy has like no arm. You know? Yeah. He's trying to get out of there. All of a sudden, Kurt and I walk up with an armful of tickets. He's like, oh god. Walks us right over to car 17. This time it's like a bench that you straddle and sit on.
It's awful. Yeah. Awful.
I'm not even going to go into what happened after that.
Yeah, I
start to get off. I just go, no, can I get my own car? No. You got to be in the same car. I'm like, what? He just goes, car 17. They start to put the metal bar down again. Kurt and I are pressed together. We're the only people on the ride, I think. I don't know why they couldn't let me have my own car.
Well, and then they proceeded to try to make us throw up because we were the only people on the ride, and they obviously were disturbed by
Kurt's like, I'm going to throw up. He's like behind me.
Yeah.
Then he starts laughing like a girl, just the shrill yelps of joy, of fear.
It was
disturbing, and I don't know. I can't. So after that, needless to say, we just packed it up. I threw away like 80 tickets.
Yeah, we cut our losses.
I just said, man, I can't do this. I thought this would be something fun. We'll go ride some rides. They wouldn't let me have my own car, and every time I paid my money, I found myself, you and me, mashed together in some metal container. Very disturbing.
You're still not able to look me in the eye.
I couldn't look in the eye after that. And very disturbing. Neither of us slept well that night. I kept jolting awake. Oh, my gosh.
The next day, the boardwalk was a buzz with rumors of the two denim-clad gentlemen who insisted on sharing a car on every ride.
Those guys were doing it just to stick it to us, man.
Yeah,
like, make them get in the same car. Make them get in the same car. But you know they get, like, guy friends.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I do. If I was on a carny ride, I'd go, yeah, I got to get in the one by yourselves. No, can we get in separate cars? No. Get in the same one.
But I'll tell you
what. You know, just
by Saturday morning in Carolina Beach, Phil and I were legends, and it had nothing to do with music.
We're gonna get into that next. We'd asked around about where to eat in the island.
Yeah.
We had the big show, King Fest. Oh man, Saturday night coming up. And after the rise, now we went to Jeff's house, Jeff's beautiful house there.
Oh yeah.
Carolina Beach. Stayed up, played some guitars in the back. Oh, it was great. We had just a great
Jeff
time.
King is living the dream out
Jeff
there.
Jeff King's
the
living the dream, man. Notorious yeah. Gringos, that's right. We'll get into our final segment here. We're gonna break with tradition a little bit. We're gonna talk about the actual big King Fest show we had. There's some photos on the website and things like that. King Fest revisited when we come back.
Wonder if you'll see me. Call me on the telephone. I wonder if you know she's a reason. I'll be good. I've got me some pills. Got me that bottle of gin.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, welcome back. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Call me, 817-733-5256 to book the band or to come record at the studio. Or shoot us an email if you'd like to hear something discussed on the podcast. As always, phil@philpritchard.com. The great Kurt South is here. We are revisiting. We haven't had a chance to revisit our cross-country trip to North Carolina to play a couple shows out there on the Atlantic Ocean for a festival, King Fest, our friend Jeff King's festival. Oh, we just painfully recounted our fun show at the Blackhorn, fun miniature golf, and then some awkward moments on some boardwalk rides there where Kurt and I were forced to share cars, pods and things like that. Evidently against the rule for one person to ride
basically, we were
car.
Rendered just as the Freddie Mercury and Elton John.
I don't even want to think about what people
night.
Thought. I, you know, to be an artist, you can't. I can't think what people think, but you know, I hope we didn't. Hope we didn't scar that great state or that great town out there. But anyway, a fun time indeed. That night after all the activity, we went to Jeff's house. Did a little late night guitar pull over there, Jeff.
Damn.
That was a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Jeff
man.
Already had the big King Fest stage set up in his backyard. Already had some beer on ice, some food out there. It was like 2 in the morning. Everybody, Jeff
yeah.
and Tommy and some of the guys were hanging out. So we had a great time. Couldn't have treated us better. Hope to be back next year. So the next day is the big day, King Fest. Well, Kurt had asked around the night before where he could get some when in Rome seafood. You know, you don't... you know, when you're on the coast, you feel like you just ought to be eating some seafood.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Absolutely.
So Kurt was asking around, where are we going to get some real seafood? Of course, you wanted to go to Red Lobster, I thought, which was surprising. I'm just kidding.
That's
no.
just ridiculous.
We had Pete Cotney on the show. He eats sushi wherever he goes. You know, whether he's in Denver, Colorado, or Cleveland. He seems to, you know, always be eating the raw fish. Well, we get pointed out to a staple, evidently, an institution there at Carolina Beach.
Yes.
Of course, this is Memorial Day weekend, so it's starting to fill up.
The
traffic's rolling
packed.
In off
yeah.
the bridge. Oh, my. The hotels are packed. The bars are packed. People everywhere, man, with surfboards and, you know, just a lot of fun, a lot of activity. So I was scared Bowman's, which we were referred to as the local for local fare, I go, man, Bowman's is going to be packed, you know. But thankfully, what? We got there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people in there, but certainly had tables. We sat right down. And Kurt had this, man, South had this look in his eye. Man, ever since last night, you know, he drinking some beers. He goes, man, I want to go somewhere I can get a platter of seafood and some fried oysters or whatever, fried shrimp and hush puppies. And man, he had this wild, gleaming look in his eye.
I was not going to be denied either.
No, as a guy who was ready. Who thought now it is right
yeah.
to get wrong?
I wanted a gallon of sweet tea and just a bunch of fried
cheese. Just to
gritters.
Get. Kurt was determined to just get wrong.
And I damn sure did. In case there's any question.
That goes
I
back
did.
To my good friend Jim Beavers. Great songwriter. He had a couple big hits here recently. Some of y'all know the song Watching Airplanes. So, Watching Airplanes, Gary
yeah.
Allen?
Yeah.
Watching there. Jim co-wrote that, wrote a bunch of other hits for Dierks Bentley, very successful, good friend of mine in Nashville, Tennessee. And that was his expression that I have brought back here to Texas, I feel like, in the intro.
Getting wrong.
Getting wrong. Because we had this there was Caesars. You know Caesars, right?
Yeah.
Nashville. Kind of an Italian buffet kind of deal. Sort of a Tennessee Mr. Gaddy's type thing.
Yeah.
He goes, man, let's go get some lunch, P2. I'm like, where do you want to go? Let's just go to Caesars, man. I'm like, Caesars, God. Makes my stomach hurt. He goes, oh, we're going to go to Caesars and just get wrong. This beef, he just all he could eat. He was a, you know, he was a guy with a hefty appetite at times, and boy, could pile it up and put it away and get wrong. So Kurt, determined in Carolina Beach, Saturday, wakes up, probably a little hungover, probably a little disturbed about the events the night before. Now he is looking for seafood on the prowl.
Well,
and I'm not talking about like fresh cut. See, I'm kind of a fresh fish guy. Some nice, I don't know, tuna,
your seafood,
salmon,
your seafood
halibut.
Taste is more sea.
You want, yeah, something I mean, fresh. I love sushi. Kurt wants something that had been harvested, killed, preserved with extra MSG, battered and deep fried.
And then you just
smother some sauce on it and just inhale it in one fell swoop.
I don't subscribe to the barely cooked salmon or tuna.
Yeah, leaving a little raw. Oh,
no,
you don't like it? You don't like it?
Hell no.
You like it just fried to...
That's just Yankee shit.
Oh, come on.
Come on. No,
that's
no.
That's the freshness. That's why you're getting wrong, eating this seafood. This
That's right. That's
well,
right.
Man, Kurt loved Bowman. What did you get there? You got the...
I got a...
There was like the Commodore platter or something.
Yeah, I got just
ahoy!
I got a bushel of fried clams. And
20,000 leagues under the sea fried shrimp platter. Or
yeah, and then I got a bunch of flounder thrown on. And they just bring it out to you.
All
just,
on one plate.
Just piled on. I mean, it's just a pile of stuff.
You get like a pile of food, and then you just get like a complimentary 400 French fries and hush puppies.
Yeah, just the best hush puppies.
Boy, those were good.
Man,
boy, they brought those out first.
So
the fried hush puppies with the honey butter.
Man,
the homemade honey
awesome.
Butter. Oh, man, that was pretty great.
But I,
and the
I,
sweet tea, you know,
yeah.
Started off.
But I here's my sweet tea thing.
See, I'm just coming around to the whole sweet tea deal.
Man, if there was one beverage that I had to choose
over
all others for the rest of my life.
No Mountain Dew?
No
beer?
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
If you said beer or sweet tea,
I'd have to take coffee. We've had this discussion before with the band. I asked Ryan Lynch, our old bass player, famous coffee drinker.
Yeah.
Famous
alcoholic.
Booze hound. No.
Love
no,
you, Ryan.
No. Finchy,
love you.
Finchy,
call
love
me.
You, love you. I did ask him, though. I said, man, if you had to give up something, if you could never drink a beer the rest of your life or never drink coffee the rest of your life, you had to pick one. You could have coffee or have beer, but not. And then he thought about it like all day, drove around all day, and then finally he just goes, man, I'd have to give up beer. He goes, I'd have to have coffee.
Yeah.
I would have to. And I was the same. I go, man, I'm the same way.
Well, I
coffee's
have
one of those deals. And you're that way with sweet tea, obviously.
Well,
the caffeine, the sugar.
Yeah. I was raised...
of course, it's a big Southern deal, that big Virginia thing, sweet
man,
tea.
My dad just has the making of sweet tea down to an art. I mean,
and
growing up in my house, man, every morning the first thing you did was no coffee. Now you made 4 gallons of sweet tea, and you drank it all day. So I've just always been that way. And I have this theory, especially when you're on the road doing shows and stuff. You're always up late. You usually have a few beers. You wake up the next day a little dehydrated.
Tough to get going,
The great thing about sweet tea is it's mostly water, but it does have caffeine, so it rehydrates you, kind of invigorates you a little bit.
Yep.
And Greg Schrader, the great Greg Schrader.
Yes, good friend Greg.
I was trying to indoctrinate him with the sweet tea thing, man.
Turned him on to it?
Just one morning, and he's always liked it, but I was telling him, hey, man, when you wake up tomorrow, you're not going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Just a gallon of sweet tea will change your world.
Change your life.
So at a Corky's barbecue in Jackson, Mississippi, Greg Schrader just
converted over, huh?
Man, just dude, I
just
feel like
an aficionado.
So the next
and
day,
there's some good bottles too. Sweet tea you can buy the store.
What
was that kind you got?
Gold Peak.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's
just,
real good.
Just out of the glass bottle.
Yeah,
I
there's some real
that.
Good ones.
If you
need any sweet tea advice, just shoot me an email.
So the sweet tea was flowing at Bowman's, though, for sure.
Yeah, because I drank a few more beers than I intended to the night before because I was trying to forget about what had happened on the boardwalk. And I gorge myself at Bowman's, and I'm a big eater. I'm not a real big guy. But man, I can eat. I can just.
And Edie did, folks. The Bowman's, they sat there watching him eat, and just the whisper. I could see the wait staff starting to whisper to each other, pointing. The old man came out with the camera, ready the camera.
Yeah.
Got out a plaque, started carving Kurt's name, just something to just leave in there.
And the more I ate, I started sweating, I just unbuttoned my shirt.
Yeah, people, it just all of a sudden it smelled like a brewery in there. It was the air was getting moist at the table. He was just emitting, he was fermenting right there, eating Bowman's. It's kind of like reminiscent of Ryan Lynch eating the oysters that we
saw. Similar. And the only reason I stopped eating was because I passed out at the
table. He got lightheaded.
My body just shut down on me.
And it was just kind of twitching a little bit from all the sweet tea.
And the next thing.
It was something to see, dude. That was making our impact, making our presence known again, as we did on the Broad Block and at Bowman's, that one of Carolina Beach's most legendary eating establishments.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got wrong at Bowman's. Wrong. Then we have the bright idea to go across the street where our eye sees in the 108 degree heat another putt-putt golf course.
Yes.
This one with
heavily landscaped.
Requisite giraffes, hippopotami.
Yeah.
Hippopotamuses? Hippopotami. I don't know. How do you even say
hippos?
Several hippos.
Just hippos.
So a lot of free-flowing water.
Yeah.
So we go there. No one's there. We're like, God, no one's on the course. Great. So we get out there. There's signs for beware of fire ants. Beware of
alligators, rattlesnakes, cottonmouths.
We're walking through like hot, like knee-high grass to get to the course. The
fighting
mosquitoes. Mosquitoes like the size of our fist just bounce off our heads. So we've just eaten this gigantic meal. It's 106 degrees.
It is hot, and we're in jeans.
We're getting bitten by ants. And the course is in poor repair.
Yeah.
Giraffes missing antlers, little antlers, a zebra missing an ear, that kind of deal, once you get closer. And a quirky course I didn't like. Like, it's one of these deals where you put it into a hole, like, from 2 feet, and then it goes on, like, a little elevator and drops into a hole at the bottom.
Yeah.
And you go, I got a hole-in-one. I'm kind of like, this is, like, tricked up. You can just get a hole-in-one every time.
There was four gimme hole-in-ones on that.
There were. Yeah. We did. Yeah, there was one where you could actually put it into a stream.
Right.
And the ball would float and then roll across a grate into the hole. It was just silly. So, not a big fan of that course. That track was very, very tricked up. But, dude, the whole time we're out there, Kurt was just, the part of the hangover, the food, the whole thing.
I wasn't feeling so well.
So he was just running back into the building several times, seeking a restroom. Having to show the guy his ticket that he was, allowed onto the course, back and forth. I had to mark our balls a couple times. Some people did finally come to the course. Had to wave people through. Hey, where's the other guy in cowboy boots? I said, man, who knows?
Well,
I don't know when he'll be back. They said, when's he coming back? One kid said, I'd finished putting, and a kid said, where'd your friend go? At first I thought, what do you mean by that? But I didn't say that. I just went. He said, where'd your friend go? I said, oh, he had to run in, back into the building, which this kid had obviously seen you do a few times. And the kid says, well, when's he coming back? An innocent question. When's he coming back? But, dude, that was heavy to me because I just looked over at the shed, the dilapidated shed where you rent your putter. So when's he coming back? And I just felt a sadness, a distant. I just said, I don't know, son. He just looked at me and said, don't know? I just said, you guys better just go ahead. I'm just going to mark our balls. Y'all just go ahead and play.
And
I don't know when he'll be back. I have no idea. So I had to wave through a couple groups. Finally, South just comes shuffling out of the...
Pantless. Pantless because I'm so hot and uncomfortable.
He's hot and uncomfortable.
Just my boxers, cowboy boots, and a tank top on. Just let's finish this.
He's got his,
he's got his red
golf ball and his putter. What hole are we on? Good Lord. I mean, he was just hurting in serious pain. So we finish up our round. And then that got us to Kingfest. We went over to Jeff's. Kurt was recuperated a bit and ill-advised. Of course, we got the batting cages. Did pretty good in the batting cages a little bit later on.
Man, I still have my stroke. If you've got an adult league baseball team, you need some help.
We got there in the 70 mile an hour cage. Made some good contact, both of us. Kurt could play some college ball.
Mm-hmm.
So hit it pretty well.
Yeah.
I got pieces. You can play a lot of ball growing up.
You had a good
up.
Stroke.
I could swing a little bit. Been a while, but so good times there. We got to Kingfest. The Notorious Gringos themselves. Of course, Jeff's beautiful house and yard is devoted. It's amazing. He's a big Texas music fan. He's got it set up just like a Texas music festival. He's got this white tent. He's got these big
lights.
Like Shinerbot banners everywhere.
It looks like it's been
sponsored, but this is stuff he's just collected. It's like I don't know what it is. It's like this. You walk into this universe back there's just Texas. There's Texas flags in the tree.
Yeah.
And they're just blasting, you know, Ragweed and whoever, you know, Hayes, Carl and the PA before the show. So the Gringos get up there. Of course, I know their songs that they recorded here, of course. So I got to get up and join them on some stuff. The Notorious Gringos. So sat in on some guitar, played some solos. We had a ball, man.
Grabbed Doug's...
What was that?
335
Gibson. Which had broken the headstock off on the way here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Doug, man, he had this beautiful old Gibson, showed up at the studio when they came to record, and the headstock was snapped off. Of course, he didn't loosen the strings. We can get on that airplane, got to loosen the strings. I always loosen the strings. Man, I've never seen it snap a headstock off like that. That's but it can
extreme.
Do it. So you young guys out there, whoever, you're traveling the guitar, loosen the strings, get on the airplane.
Lesson you were able to do
it. But he had it repaired. It was beautiful. Had it repaired, set up.
Awesome guitar.
Played. Of course, I told him, I offered to let them play last.
Yeah.
They were like, I'll feel you're the headliner. I said, man, it's just me and my guitar and Kurt. And, you know, it's kind of more of a, they had a full band. They got five guys in the band or something. But they go, no. And they go, like, man, we're just having fun. We'll play first. So they did. So then I got up there. Kurt got up there. And I thought it went really well. Really laid back,
cool,
fun.
Yeah. Real cool.
Piles of crawfish. I mean, as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
Huge table. All kinds of food. Man, just outstanding.
Doug was going brown.
Yeah. That was the kind of the term of the trip. Doug Andrews. His last name Andrews, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think
Doug
it is.
Great guitar player, keyboardist for the Notorious Gringos. He's I don't know. How old is Doug? 50, maybe?
Yeah,
50?
He's in his early 50s.
Two, maybe?
Yeah.
And when they're recording, I guess when the Gringos came out here, these guys are all, you know, late 40s maybe, mid-40s, late 40s, early 50s. They just roll in, man. I mean, they're like, man, we're making a record, dude. Dude, they just roll in the wet bar. They roll in kegs, cases of imported beer. I mean, they were ready. They're like, man, we're making a record. They're looking at me like, man, is this how everybody makes a record out here in Texas, man? And I just hated to tell them, like, man, you know, not
usually.
Most of the guys are like, you know, 19. They don't really drink at all. But these guys came to make a record, man.
They're
have
pros.
A few cold beers.
They
and I love the term Doug
steel.
Used. Every day about noon, Doug would be sitting there finishing a beer. These guys are drinking like 9, 10 in the morning. And then someone goes, hey, Doug, you want another beer? And he kind of looks thoughtfully at his whatever beer is in his hand. He just makes a call, shakes his head, and just looks up and goes, after this one, I'm going brown. And that was you always waited to hear when Doug went brown, which of course means the brown liquor, the Jack Daniels.
Code for bourbon
before,
time.
Yes. Into like a Whataburger cup, like the 28-ounce Whataburger styrofoam with a Dr. Pepper in there. Doug would go brown and continue playing great organ licks, guitar licks, and we just had a ball. It was great.
Doug reminds me like Matlock.
Yeah, kind of the southern. Kind of,
he's an old. You know,
is he a lawyer? I think he is a lawyer.
Or he's some sort
of an executive.
Just kind of an old. Just a southern gentleman kind of guy.
Yeah, he owns his own boat out there. Everyone's got a really nice boat.
Just like a seersucker suit, a straw hat, and
a
big
smokes, glass of you know, always have like a cigar maybe.
Yeah.
And going brown and just kicking ass playing some rock and roll. So we get on there after the Gringos. Now, the Gringos, I think, didn't expect to get on stage with us. I think they were very – just Phil can play a show.
Yeah.
Of course, we started getting guys up there. Well, I got Doug up there first.
Yeah.
To play some keyboard, piano on Shall Be Released.
Yeah.
Three chords. I was like, hey, man, you know, A, B minor, C sharp minor, follow me. Kurt's on stage. So Doug gets on. He does some great kind of gospel piano licks there on the keys. And then Russell gets up on the drums. I mean, it started flowing a little bit. So, and of course, the crowd is all friends with the Gringos, so they just come to the stage. Everyone's at the stage.
I moved to bass at that
Kurt
time.
Kurt moves to bass, and this is where the fun starts.
Yeah.
This is what we try to get going, you know. We had a blast. Next thing you know, all the Gringos are on stage, five, six of them. Kurt's playing. I'm band leading the whole deal.
Playing a made up song.
Well, we finished I Shall Be Released for maybe like 18
45 minutes.
So, and then we just go into a straight blues, just 12 bar progression in A. Follow Me. And we just did kind of I was just making up verse after verse. It went forever.
It's pretty impressive.
And that song, I was kind of impressed. I kept coming up with pertinent little things about our evening, you know, that we'd ridden the rides.
That song went on at least 30 minutes.
Going down to Bowman's. Da-na-na-na-na. Gonna get my fill. Da-na-na-na. Going down to Bowman's. Gonna get my fill. The home crowd was supporting us. They were right there with us.
They were on
in the
fire.
Palm of our hand, egging us on. The guys were just playing solos. Everybody had gone brown by this point. And the crowd, it was just great, man. It was great. So thanks so much, Jeff King, the Notorious Gringos, the great state of North Carolina, the Deep South, for getting us there, Augusta, Georgia. Kurt and I, a voyage that'll, I think, just live in infamy, man. I'll never forget
People
that.
People are still talking on the boardwalk.
And to top it all off, of course, we took 2 days to get out there. We just got up the next morning about 5 o'clock, and we just one-dayed it all the way home.
One day.
Phil's van, 368,000 miles, 22 hours straight, no stop.
Yeah.
Rolled in about 2 o'clock. Central time.
Yeah.
In Texas. And that was it. One day drive home. Phenomenal.
Marathon.
Phenomenal.
Riding.
Well, I'll never forget it.
It was a veteran move.
It was. Well, thanks for being here, Kurt South. This is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast. Email us, phil@philpritchett.com. Call me, 817-733-5256, to book the full band to come play your next function. Hell, we're going to Carolina Beach. You think we're not going to come to wherever you are? You got to be crazy. Call us. We'll come play it. Come make a record here at Trinidad. My thanks to Kurt South for being here. Thanks for a great, memorable trip to the
good time.
Atlantic Ocean. Well, till next time, folks, take care of yourselves out there. A lot more coming to you. Topics to be discussed in future podcasts. Keep those emails coming. Phil@philpritchett.com. For Phil Pritchett and Kurt South, signing off here on the P2 Podcast. Take care.
My baby says she never, baby says she never let me way high. I'm gonna get me a gun, one with a barrel or two. I'm gonna get me a gun, I say one with a barrel or two, yeah. Won't have to be here, singing these suicide.